Good morning and welcome to After Deadline. I'm Kathleen Strecker, editor of Coast Weekend at the Daily Astorian. And if you listen to this program regularly on Friday mornings, you know that we have one of our staff usually talking with the bigwigs, the movers and shakers, the newsmakers of the area. And I certainly have a couple of people here today with me who fit that description. But my focus usually when I do these shows is people who work with young people in our community. And as we all know, that's terribly important to get them good starts and get them what they need in life. And the folks I have with me today are definitely contributing to that. So I'd like to welcome Cindy Mudge, who's the executive director of the Astoria Sunday Market. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And also Sandra Carlson, who is the 4-H coordinator through the Oregon State University Extension Service. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And the reason that these two are here is because they are working very closely with a group called the Young Entrepreneurs. And if you've ever been to the Sunday market, you've seen their booth. It's a large booth, a lot of people working in it, and a lot of very small people working in it. And what it is a group of youngsters who are making and selling their own products at the Sunday market. And there is an entire 4-H program dedicated to fostering this, teaching them what they need to know, and getting them started. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So first of all, I would like to ask Cindy just to get us started and tell us, for those maybe who aren't familiar with the Sunday market or the Young Entrepreneurs, what is it that you do? What brought you to Astoria, and how long have you been involved with Sunday market?
Well, I actually came to Astoria in 2003 to take on the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial commemoration activities. So that got me here, and I'd been wanting to move to Astoria for a long time. I grew up in Seattle, Washington, and it was perfect timing. And then I actually, when that ended, and also I worked on the National Heritage Area concept for about a year, the Astoria Sunday Market position came open. And so happily, I'm able to stay here, and I took that on in 2008 was my first season.
Right. Good deal. Just getting with the market itself for a little bit, what's changed about it in the time that you've been at the helm?
Well, we've added a few new programs. The Young Entrepreneurs and Market Biz Kids, of course, is one of them. We also added a winter market that is really dependent on space every fall. So I'm still looking for fall space as we speak for this year. And then this year, we also added the Scavengers Feast, which has been hugely popular. We really wanted to focus on the culinary aspects this year of the market, the produce and the meats. And we've had fish this year. And so the Scavengers Feast, we partnered with Baked Alaska and Chef Chris Holland on that. And so that's been fabulous.
Cool. Well, great. Well, and then Sandra, let's hear from you. What's your background and how did you get involved in 4-H?
Well, I was in 4-H as a kid. I grew up in Minnesota. And so from 4th grade to 12th grade, I was in 4-H doing a lot of the home ec things, the sewing, cooking, arts. I did an animal one year, and I did a market animal, and I said I could never do it again because it was too sad. So I know how those kids feel. And then we moved out to Portland in 85, just got married and said we're just going to move. And lived out in Portland for about 11 years, and then my husband's job brought us out this way, and I actually live in Nacelle. Mm-hmm. And I started working with Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and then I ended up with the 4-H program. So it's nice to be back working with what I grew up with.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So then how did these two things come together? How did the Young Entrepreneurs idea originate, and where did you go with it?
Well, when I lived in Seattle for a few years, I managed the Pike Place Market Street Festival. And so worked with a lot of the market vendors there. And I was a young entrepreneur myself. My dad always took my allowance away, so I had to come up with interesting ways to raise my money. And so I was always a young entrepreneur. So when I took on the market job in Seattle, I remember thinking it would be kind of fun to develop a program like this to get kids in there vending. And of course, I moved away from Seattle long before that. So when I took on the Astoria Sunday Market job, that old seed of an idea was still back there. And I thought, well, I'm now in the perfect job to see if it doesn't fly and see how this would work. And I contacted Sandy because 4-H met the same age group we did. I was aiming for K through 12 and already had kind of a lot of the contacts in place and they kind of do the skill training part in a sense. And my end of what I wanted to do was learning something about home ec or animals or whatever and taking it to the next level. How do you then sell it? Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like a really good partnership, and it has worked really well in that regard.
Yeah.
And it's been really good for our kids because so often they do a product, like you said, and they can just take it to fair, and this gives them another step of where to go with it. And we do teach a lot of life skills, and so the life skills they're learning is mm-hmm. is a little different than what they can do just with their product. But now that they can get out in the public and showcase it, it's worked out really, really well.
Yeah. So is there a seasonal cycle for this? Do they have to sign up for it at one point, and then and is there an end point to their experience with it, or how does that work?
Sure. Do you want to? What I was going to say was, actually, a kid could probably be a market biz kid. That's the tent at the market, probably any time. We don't require them to join 4-H, and we don't mm-hmm. require them to go through the whole program, because I don't want to have any barriers from mm-hmm. a kid wanting to participate. But there are certainly advantages to going through the whole program. And we start our workshops in about February. And every few weeks, they attend a different workshop. We basically take a business plan, break it down into sessions, workshop sessions. And so at the end of the workshops, they essentially have a business plan all ready to go. So that's really the idea there, is give them some training, give them some tips on how to vend, and then give them the opportunity.
And the workshops have worked out really well. Cindy brings in other vendors from the community who are at the market, and so they're learning from professionals. And it's really fun for them to take the information and see them at the workshop and then be able to see them how they've used that, what they've learned down at the market. And mm-hmm. they always start out kind of timid and shy often, and then by the time they get going at the market, it's a different person by the end of the summer. So it's really fun to watch the growth in the kids.
Excellent. So what type of products are they coming up with? Are we talking macaroni pictures, or you know, what are these actual viable products that somebody would use?
You know, I've been just really impressed with the creativity and the variety and the skill that these kids bring. And they kind of step it up. I've got some regular vendors who are kind of looking at these kids going,
really?
Maybe I need to step up my product a little bit and my displays. And Sandy, you're going to have to help me out here, because we have some things like jewelry, of course, but the gal who does that, she does a really good job. She's been doing it since she's a kid now, and she's been doing it since she was a little kid. Mm-hmm. We have our cheese girl, we call her Mary, who makes cheese making kits, so you can learn how to make cheese. And they also have their own blend of wax, so she sells that. And she was allergic to cow's milk, but not goat's milk, so she and her mom developed a whole line of goat milk recipes for things like cookies and so forth. So we've got her there. A brother and sister team makes wood tops and other wood products, and they did a really fine job of them. I mean, it was just remarkable. Another gal made compliment jars, a simple product, but really kind of fun. Trinity was her name, and she just made these little jars fold with kind of fuzzy balls and slips of paper with compliments. So every day you can pull out a compliment. And they turned out to be great gifts for teachers mm-hmm. and things like that.
Oh, cool.
So we've had just a wide variety.
And a couple other things we've got this year is new. We have two kids who are cooking. Last year we didn't have any food, and they had to go through an approved kitchen in order to do mm-hmm. it. And so the 4-H chicken coop got made last year as a building that now has an approved kitchen in it. And so the kids are able to go there and cook. And so we have one that's doing cookies and one that's making prune tarts. And those have been pretty successful at the market.
They have been. And then last year, one of our kids did a message in a bottle, Tyler. Mm-hmm. And that product has since been picked up at the Columbia River Maritime Museum. And he's still going, but he started at the market.
Wow.
And one of our vendors from last year, Maya, mm-hmm. She made dog treats, dog mm-hmm. products, the Pup Cakery. It started out with, they looked like little cupcakes, but they were called Pup Cakes. And they now have their own booth. They're a regular vendor at the market. And her baby sister, who's just adorable, does these really colorful paintings, but she's got a niche. She does dogs with crowns. Okay. Only dogs with crowns, but they're wonderful. And they've spun this off into cards and a bunch of other fun products. Oh. And so that's kind of great seeing these kids and their parents vending regularly mm-hmm. at the market this year.
Right. So it's really taken off. So do they actually make some money off of this? Do they have to pay the Sunday market fee off the top, or how does that work?
Yes and yes. They do make some money. I'm surprised at how well some of the kids are doing. We do charge a fee. Obviously, we don't charge the same kind of fee we do with regular vendors, because this is a training, but they need to learn that there is overhead. Mm-hmm. And so we charge them $5 a table per day.
Oh, okay.
Whether or not they sell, that's part of the life learning mm-hmm. lessons we're trying to show them, is there's expenses to owning a business and to running a business. Mm-hmm.
And I know some of the kids have said that they've made up to $100 or more a day. Hmm. Some of them can go and not make anything, as any vendor there.
Right.
So, you know, every Sunday is a different Sunday to see what kind of people, you know, you're going to entice. And mm-hmm. But some of them are doing very, very well.
Very good. Okay. So how would a kid get involved in this? Do they get flyers through the school that let them know about it? Or how do you reach the kids?
Pretty much it's... we put things in the paper. Mm-hmm. We haven't put articles or anything in the school newspapers or anything. Our 4-H newsletter has information that we put out to all of our 4-H kids. But a lot of it has been word of mouth, I think, through advertising and, like, for instance, being here today, people hear about it. But it's been pretty good. We have about 19 kids in it this year is our mm-hmm. program. And... if anyone is interested, they can contact me at the Extension office or Cindy at the Astoria Sunday Market.
Right. Okay. And we do once a year put a brochure out to the schools. We'd actually like to do a little better job of that and getting it out a little sooner and broader. But we try and get it out to all of Clatsop County, because this is open to any kid mm-hmm. in this county.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, you mentioned all sorts of things like the life skills that they get out of this. Now, I know there's also grants available, you said. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, new this year, Cindy got a grant from Western Oregon Waste. Mm-hmm. And so with some of that money, we're hoping to give the kids up to $25 to $100 grants if they complete certain components at the end of the year. So they have to vend up and through September, so mm-hmm. that will be the end of our year. They have to do a letter, a business plan, which will be their 6 worksheets that they've had, submit some photos with it, talk about the amount of time that they vended, and then that will be reviewed by someone from the market, someone from 4-H, and then someone from Western Oregon Waste and mm-hmm. Clatsop Community Bank, who helps sponsor as well. And so once we wrap up this year and see how much vending the kids have done, they basically put their plan together and submit it, and we'll be able to give them some grants, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for them to, you know, get ready for next year.
I was going to say, do the grants have to be used then to perpetuate their product, or is it just kind of a cash award?
No, it's just a grant, in a way, rewarding them for the work they've already done.
Okay.
And, you know, how they want to use it, we're not going to dictate that, but I do really want to thank Western Oregon and Waste, because they just stepped up in a big way this
awesome.
Year. There are expenses, there's equipment we have to buy, and the market also loses money from those spaces, mm-hmm. and but we're happy to do that. Our board is just really excited about this project, but it was great having this grant, because it not only helped cover kind of our hard expenses, because of workshops and things, but being able to do these grants is just the next step that we're really excited about offering.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So then also if they complete the business plan workshops, then they get a certificate also, is that right?
Yeah, Clatsop Community College is in a partner with this also. And so if they do the 6 worksheets and get them filled in and sent in to us, and they vend at least one market every Sunday from June until September, then we will give them a certificate from the college.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well, what can they do with their products then, other than just Sunday market? Are there other venues that they can sell them at? If they're in the program, are they like restricted to only selling at Sunday market? Or
no, I mean, hopefully this just opens the doors for them for other things. As I mentioned, Tyler started selling his product, mm-hmm. you know, wholesaling it, going through that experience. And in fact, Blue Anderson with the Columbia River Maritime Museum did a workshop with our more experienced kids on how to approach a retail shop and how to go to that level. We actually still have two more workshops to do with those kids. One we actually want to do on how to do interviews and do your PR and press and media relations. So we're still kind of working on pulling that one together. And we're also, I'm trying to find a partner to help teach kids how to do online sales safely and securely and how to utilize that source. So for the kids who have already completed this program and they're looking at other avenues, we want to provide some additional education that way too.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, what is the future of the program then? Do you see it expanding even further? Do you have something in mind or is it just going to kind of keep going as it is?
Well, I don't know how you feel, Sandra, but I certainly we'd like to see this program go, continue, and we'd love to see it grow. I'd love to see more kids involved. We have room each Sunday for at least 6 kids, which means we can handle 20 or so each season easily because not everyone comes every single week. So we would love to see it grow. And really, it's just another opportunity to kind of if you have a passion about something, how can you turn that into a way to make money? If you don't have a passion about something, maybe this will help light a fire. But a lot of the kids, when they start with us, some of them have a real clear idea of what they want to sell. Others come as a blank slate into the first workshop going, I don't know what I want to do. And they develop something. And the great thing is they sometimes develop 2 or 3 products before they get to it. But you know what? My regular vendors do that too. Some of them have been vending, you know, 20, 30 years, and the product you see today is an evolution of things they've done over the years. And so the kids are learning that too.
And it's been really fun to watch some of them. Last year we had one girl that made a box that was like a scrapbook box that was beautiful, and she made different designs, but she quickly realized, I think, that the amount of time that it took to make it and what she needed to sell it for, you know, she really was not making much for her time. And so, you know, those are some of the good skills that they're learning in doing this product. And like you said, just changing as you evolve with your ideas and see how things are going to work.
Yeah. So this year she came back with a much more simplified product.
Really?
Bath salts and that she scents herself, things like that. But that was a huge learning lesson on her part too.
Cool. Well, Sandra, while we've got you in here, what else is going on with 4-H these days?
Well, we're right at the beginning of our new year.
Okay.
Well, ending this year. Our new year starts in October. And so we're going to be out in the schools doing recruitment, trying to find anyone who wants to help teach the kids and become a 4-H leader, and any kids that are interested in being part of the 4-H program. So, you know, we are... You can sign up at the schools if you want, or our extension office number is 503-325-8573. And we have a couple things that are coming up. In October 6th, we have a National Science Day, which is National 4-H is out of Washington, D.C., and they want every county in every state on October 6th to do the same science experiment.
Oh.
And so, and this year it's going to be on global warming and oceans, and so we're going to be doing ours on that evening at 6:30 at the clubhouse. And we're hoping that we're supposed to be getting a kit that'll we should be able to do about 50 kids.
Oh, wow.
So if anyone is interested in that, they don't have to be in 4-H to do that. You can call the office, again, at 325-8573 and just call and sign up and say you'd like to be a part of it. So that'll be kind of fun. And then the other activity we have coming up on November 6th and 7th is our 4-H lock-in, which we have done now for, I don't know, probably about 8 years. And it's an overnight event for kids 4th through 6th grade. And we're going to be doing it out of KOA. And they just get to do songs, games, skits, crafts, swimming, just a quick overnight for the younger kids and the older kids. My 7th and 8th graders get to counsel them, and then my older teens who have been counselors teach the 7th and 8th graders. So it's kind of a stair step of teaching for everyone and fun. So it's a fun event.
All right. Excellent. And so besides the animal raising, what other sorts of programs are out there?
Well, we have, of course, the animal. That's what everybody always thinks about 4-H. And then the traditional home ec type things, the sewing, the cooking. We are trying to start pushing more of the science. This, again, National 4-H is looking at other countries are, you know, going over us in our knowledge in the sciences and maths. And so technology is a big push right mm-hmm. now. And so if anybody is interested in becoming a leader in like computers and aerospace or rocketry or anything like that, I'd love to talk to them because it would be fun to have a little bit more of that those opportunities mm-hmm. for the kids in our area. Excellent. And we have shotgun and archery and rifle. And another one that we have that I'm could be looking for some leaders for would be like sports fishing and just taking some kids out and fishing with them and getting them out into the outdoors, maybe geology, that type of thing. So,
all right, so it's wide open then.
It is wide open. Excellent. Pretty much anything a person wants to teach kids, as long as they like working with kids and they've got a skill to share, they can become a leader.
Oh, very good. So, Cindy, same question. What's in store for the Sunday market and its related happenings?
We have a lot going on. One of the fun things coming up is the Scavengers Feast in September is tied to Graham Kerr, who's coming out here actually for the Commercial Fishermen's Festival. Mm-hmm. And so Baked Alaska, Mise en Place, and Astoria Cooperative and the Market have joined together to bring Graham out here. Obviously, he's going to be at the festival doing assisting some other chefs. And then on Sunday, he'll do his own seafood cooking demonstration. Mm-hmm. But before that, he'll have a seminar Friday at the Liberty Theater, basically on healthy choices. And, you know, my understanding is it's very entertaining. People really have enjoyed and learned a lot from his seminar. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, the real exciting thing, though, is he and Chef Chris Holland will take our Scavengers Feast participants and they'll actually go shopping with Graham at the market earlier in the morning. They're going to meet at 9:30 that particular day to take advantage of Graham's appearance there. And Graham's going to be shopping for his ingredients for his cooking demonstration at the festival, but they'll also be shopping for what they're going to make for their meal, that breakfast. Scavengers Feast has been a lot of fun. Typically, Chris gives everyone kind of a slips of paper. They have to go find some ingredients and they don't know what they're cooking until they all get back and join together all their items. And then they cook it together. Chris doesn't do a demo. They actually all participate in cooking. It's been a lot of fun. So this time Graham's going to be joining them for that. And we're really looking forward to that. The cost for that is $65 a person. We've just gotten rave reviews for that program. So we're excited about that and his presence.
Great. And just in case somebody out there doesn't know who Graham Kerr is.
You know, I'm dating myself, but he used to do in the 1970s, the Galloping Gourmet. That's what he's most known for. But he really has had other shows since then. And he's an author. And he and his wife, Trina, will be out here celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary while they're in Astoria, too.
Fantastic. Yeah, we were just talking before the show about how I remembered watching my parents watched him in the 70s. Yeah. And then my husband, when he was taking care of our son when he was a preschooler at home, he'd watch a Graham Kerr show during the day, and it was already in the early 90s focused on healthy eating and how to cook well, but use the best healthy ingredients too. So yeah, he's really quite the leader in the field, and it's going to be a treat to have him in town.
Oh yeah, and the culinary stage at the festival is actually we've recreated a galley on a ship. It's actually a really fun stage. Festival director Ron Williams, he and a volunteer Jesse have been working hard to build this. So we're looking forward to it. And Graham's really excited about kind of showing people how to cook in that setting.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So while we're on the topic, just give us a little blurb about the Commercial Fishermen's Festival and what's coming up with that.
Sure. This is an event that the Astoria Sunday Market has incubated and helped get started. It's now on its own feet. It's happening September 18th and 19th at the Port of Astoria's new Tongue Point facility. Beautiful facility. We're really lots of space. Looking forward to having it there. We have pretty much representatives from nearly every boat on Deadliest Catch in appearance, plus Amy Roloff of Little People Big World is also going to be doing a cooking demonstration on our seafood stage. So we'll have lots of guest celebrity appearances, but also the competitions, both commercial fishing competitions, but there's fun stuff for anyone. The Dover Sole Relay Race, for example, is a really fun event that a lot of people participate in. So there's a lot of competitions. There'll be displays. There'll be boats on display. So it's really going to be a fun event this year.
Yeah. Describe this Dover Sole Relay.
It's teams of three. Dover Sole is really slippery, slimy fish, and they have to carry it on a shovel, and there's three people a team, and they have to hand it off. I got some great pictures of some kids like staring at their fish, hoping it doesn't fall off. It's really hysterical. So any a family can sign up. Businesses can have teams of three. It's just really a lot of fun.
Excellent.
And you win the coveted, highly sought after Dover Sole crown is your big prize.
Hope it's not a crown of fish.
No.
Oh, cool. And that's September 18th and 19th that
right.
that's happening. Okay, great. So I know the market keeps you incredibly busy, and then you've got this other festival coming up to plan. What do you do when it's not market season?
Start planning for market season. There's used to be more of a downtime before winter market. Now the winter market kind of takes up the November, December time. But really, we start putting together our marketing materials and getting our vendors lined up starting in mid-January.
Oh, wow.
So there's really kind of just a short break, and we do the festival guide. We get that printed. And so a lot of the work, behind-the-scenes work, starts happening in mid-January. So it's really... People don't see all the behind the scenes work that's involved. They just see all the tents that are up
right.
the day of.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of, I've found it's really fun watching the empty streets just go from an empty street to really a festival in just a few short hours. In 3 hours, you'll watch empty streets, and suddenly there's these tents and festa and music going, and it's just amazing how quickly it all pulls together.
You should do a time-lapse photography thing.
Yeah.
And put it together and post it somewhere. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. We should.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, is there anything else that you guys want to add about the young entrepreneurs or the market or 4-H or anything?
You know, if you're interested in the young entrepreneurs, it is a great program. It's a good way for the kids to get out there and learn some independence and public speaking skills, you know, as well as a lot of our other 4-H programs. I mean, that's part of what we teach is life skills. So, you know, there's a lot of programs out there for kids, and it's just a matter of finding something that your kids are interested in and they want to do. So, you know, I'd just say keep 4-H in mind is one of them. That's an opportunity that goes year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And the fee is, there's $15 if they sign up by the 31st of January or $20 after that. And so it is an opportunity that's out there for the kids.
Great.
And with the Story Sunday Market, we, of course, are open through October 10th, the second weekend of October, from 10 to 3. And one last thing with the Commercial Fishermen's Festival, this year on Friday the 17th, we are also having a Commercial Fishermen's Memorial Ride. So any bikers out there listening, there's going to be a memorial ride that starts at Northwest Harley in Lacey and ends at Astoria Ford. And there'll be actually a special Commercial Fishermen's Memorial just before the Captain Phil Harris Highliner competition.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, great to have you both here and filling us in on the young entrepreneurs and the market and 4-H. It's just wonderful to hear of such great opportunities for kids. I know they get a lot out of it. And I'm also happy to hear that you have all the regulations about going through the approved kitchens and all that so we don't get the health department shutting down the lemonade stand. So that's great. And you guys have a wonderful program planned, and I thank you for sharing about it.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having us.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time on After Deadline.